You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
I almost feel like I got to go a little more mainstream on my next pick.
Yeah?
Because the other one I picked was not mainstream. Because it's kind of like the one that like you didn't know about, but I feel like I should go something a little more iconic. So let me change gears here for a minute. Let me pull up the my third choice.
Okay, well, let's see. Up to you.
All right.
My second choice might be hit or miss as to whether you're a fan or not.
Okay. Let's see. Timer start.
This is 80 Something Podcast.
Banzai!
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 Hey, where's the meat?
I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
It to each other.
Party on, dudes!
Hey, this is Banzai Retro Club. I am Dave. Online, I've got Suzanne.
Hi there.
And dear listener, what we are doing is we're continuing our saga of talking about our favorite TV shows from the decades that we cover, that being the 1970s, 1980s, and 1990s. And what we've decided to do tonight is play a little mystery game with each other to, randomly talk about a show that the other co-host doesn't know what we're going to be talking about. So what we do is we set a little timer. So you're going to hear that in roughly about 20 minutes or so after, we've babbled about the TV show. So that's the reason why you'll hear that little timer where in the past you may not have. So that really gives us the opportunity to kind of get a little more topics under our belt in a given night, and then also deliver some shorter episodes to you, which I think in some cases are a little more digestible versus our like 2-hour discussions, as we are prone to do when we start geeking out and we allow Scott to tangent.
We really do go at it now and then. It's not just Scott.
No, I know. I know. I just like to blame Scott, but it's all of us. My pick is really something that is a very iconic TV show for the 1980s. So it was on between 1983 and 1987, and I'm talking about the A-Team.
The A-Team.
Starred George Peppard, Dirk Benedict, Dwight Schultz, and Mr. T.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
We'll be right back. This was something that in the 80s I didn't watch that much of, but when I had gotten into the Navy and gotten to my first duty station, it was on reruns, as the show was, you know, because it was, you know, getting replayed and getting resurgence of its popularity. So even though it was past its initial run, I was still every afternoon after I had gotten off work, going to the barracks. My the people that lived in the room across the hallway from me in my barracks room, you know, we had two-person rooms, and they had TV in theirs, I had TV in mine, and we would always get together in the early afternoon and watch the A-Team. So had a lot of fun just kind of geeking out with those two guys and watching, you know, the exploits of Hannibal, Face, Howling Mad Murdoch, and B.A. Baracus. You know, the...
so that were those names.
yeah, that was their character names. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, as I've gotten older and I've found out a little bit more behind-the-scenes stuff, I realize that even though I didn't really catch it when I was watching it the first time, that there was really some animosity between Mr. T and George Peppard. So a lot of their scenes together weren't, you know, they weren't like jovial. You know, they got the job done, but it wasn't like there was a lot of camaraderie and there wasn't like a lot of chemistry between those two. And it kind of showed on film, but I never really put it together. And you know, later on, I found out that, yeah, they just really didn't kind of get along with each other. So I was like, wow, okay. The things you learn about, you know, the shows from, you know, that you grew up with.
Yeah, that's rotten to have to go to work every day with somebody you don't get along with and kind of pretend that you do.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
For the sake of, you know, it being a good entertainment for everybody else. That's right. Kind of rotten.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think that as you're going through, you know, multiple seasons and having to, you know, work with these people, you know, with, you know, your coworkers, that you would hope that it's like a family experience and you really enjoy going to work. But I would think that if there, and I don't even know why the animosity between those two existed. I just had heard about it. And so it was just kind of like, I could just imagine what that would have been like, you know, it was like, oh great. Now I got to deal with this guy for this scene.
Yeah,
so
what a pain.
You know, I probably relate to that in certain ways because there are certain times that like I have like conference calls with people that aren't the top of my list and I kind of dread a little bit. And it's not like they're bad people. It's just like one of those things where it's like I'd rather talk to someone else. So maybe that's a relationship that Mr. T had with George Peppard. I don't know. But the show concept, just so completely fun. For those that are not familiar with the dynamic, George Peppard played the leader. He was Hannibal Smith. So he was really the one that was in charge of their group. And then Dirk Benedict played Face. And I think he was the second in command. Dwight Schultz, Howling Mad Murdoch, he was kind of their pilot. And then Mr. T, B.A. Baracus, was, in a lot of cases, you would say the muscle, but you know, he was kind of the engineer of the group, where he can just build about anything that you would expect, you know, to be able to put together. The premise was that there was a crime that was committed when they were in Vietnam. They didn't actually commit the crime, but they were committed as guilty for the crime. So they escaped. And then they became soldiers of fortune that you could hire. So that was really the premise of the show. It was just, I was actually just telling this to my wife yesterday when I was telling her about what we're going to be talking about tonight. And I go, I'll probably be talking about A-Team, because I was still floating around with the ideas of what to talk about. And she goes, yeah, I really didn't watch it. It wasn't really something I was that interested in. And I go, well, and it was funny because I gave her the comparison that I was like, well, there's a lot of people that are shooting at things, but they don't hit anything. So think about stormtroopers from Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people firing, but nothing really, no one really gets hurt. So, and that's what the A-Team happened. You had all these seasons and there was a lot of bullets flying, a lot of people firing guns at each other. And there's cars that got flipped over, but that was about it, and everybody would just kind of crawl out from underneath and give up. So
that's very convenient.
Yeah. And the other thing that I found so funny, and I know that I'm going way too long here, I'm sorry, but the other thing that I thought was very hilarious to watch, and it seemed like it happened on almost every episode, was the bad guys always captured them and then put them in some place where they can build something. Like you always had supplies. You always had access to a blowtorch.
That's funny.
There was always a blowtorch, and somehow they could put sheet metal in front of a car, and it becomes bulletproof. And I don't I was like, really? Come on! But that's what happened every episode, and it was like you would think that the bad guys would talk to each other, and it goes, hey, by the way, if you ever capture the A-Team, don't put them where your supplies are
no
at.
No blowtorches, yeah.
Don't put them where the supply tent is or the supply, barracks or whatever. Keep them by themselves.
I guess you just have to kind of go with the script. It's just like, it's just like in superhero movies where they always like go through the whole monologue once they've caught the guys that they're looking that they've been chasing forever, and that's their nemesis, and they've got to make this big explanation and give them time to get out of the handcuffs or whatever it is that's going on, and or leave them in some, elaborate trap hanging over of sharks, like in Batman and Robin. Just shoot them. You wouldn't have this problem. You use your head a little bit.
Yeah. If you capture MacGyver, take his Swiss Army knife, okay?
Yeah, there Come you on. Go. No matches. Take them away.
He's not going to need that. that was kind of the recurring thing that was happening, on that show. But, it was fun to watch. It was fun to, the circumstances that they went into. The character of B.A. Baracus didn't like to fly, so they always had to, whenever they, they always got a job that they would end up having to fly somewhere. So they'd always have to find a way to drug him. Yeah, they'd have to find a way to drug him in order to get him to where he's going, and then make up some sort of elaborate story when they're on the other side. About, what happened, how they got there, and even though he's able to figure out, Murdoch flew us and you knocked me out with, they always had some sort of drug online that they can just kind of, knock him out.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
And put him on the plane? Is that what they
do? Yeah, exactly.
Jeez. Can I get that drug? I can't fly.
Yeah.
Never watched the show. Never.
Never ever watched it. Really.
Never watched it. I didn't even know the Mr. T character didn't had a different name. I just thought he was Mr. T.
Yeah, it was B.A. So okay. the iconic van, the one that you always see whenever you see the A-Team, you always see the black van with the red stripe. Not necessarily stripe, but the red shape that was coming down along the side. That was his van. So very possessive of that van. But whenever you think 80s vehicles, you'll throw in the A-Team van as part of that.
Right. Yeah. I remember the van being very popular and had its own theme music, right?
Didn't they play
the A-Team theme music every time the van came on.
Well, I mean, well, that was they definitely showcased it during the intro of the show. And that was actually something that when Scott and I were talking about theme music, you know, that, you know, we brought up the premise of theme music being a little more iconic if it tells like the story and it has like lyrics. Yeah. And this one, it had a monologue where it gives you the background of, you know, here's the soldiers of fortune for a crime they didn't commit. And now you can hire them if you can find the A-team, you know. And then, dun, 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 dun. And so, you know, it went into that and it was iconic for that, but it wasn't like the, you know, without that monologue, it would have just been like music. And I just don't know if the music by itself would be iconic.
Yeah, well, that's definitely when you get that little exposition at the beginning of every episode, you know, and it sets things up. That's like, that's something, it's a little archaic now. Like, the shows don't do that anymore.
That's
maybe
too bad.
What? You get something like that at the beginning of, you know, the Law and Order type of shows. They do that little monologue and then you get the sound effect.
Right.
But maybe that's the only throwback to that tradition of, you know, sit right back and we'll tell the tale of a faithful ship. You know, like Gilligan's Island and all those Sid and Marty Krofft things always had the whole, you know, narrative going in the beginning and they'd sing through it. And,
right.
You know, or the $6 Million Man where they tell the whole story and you get to see him like, you know, the spaceship failing, there's this capsule failing. And this,
yep.
It's just not the same, you know? Like they
or
felt
even the Incredible
need
Hulk.
To just, oh yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That was an interesting one. I don't know why they felt the need to just educate the audience every time the show came on, you know? Maybe people are more sophisticated now and they've all seen it already, you know? They've gotten all the exposition they're ever going to need in their lives. So so that was...
I wouldn't mind that, though.
That was a fun tradition.
I wouldn't mind, you know, having a TV show intro like that. In fact, in some ways, sometimes I'm guilty pleasure here. I like watching every season of Survivor. My wife and I watch that, and we'll always watch the first episode of the season. We'll always watch the intro because you have Jeff Probst, who's the host, you know, kicking off the whole thing, you know, like, you know, 39 days, only one survivor. And, you know, it just really sets it up and you kind of get yourself in the, all right, we're starting this again. Here's a new season. But we'll fast forward, you know, on, you know, the subsequent episodes, you know, because we don't need the flashback stuff and we don't need the intro again, but it's like that first episode of the first season. Gotta watch it. You can't fast forward.
Yeah. You get the whole thing.
Yep. But even now, if I were to find the A-Team online and start rewatching it again, I'd probably do the same thing. I'd have to, like, in order to get myself back into that same frame of mind, I would need to watch the intro from the beginning. They're talking about the background. Here's how they got to that situation. And like you said, the sound effect was like a machine gun shooting the letters, the A-Team, into the red background.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't watch it, so I never had this experience. But yeah. I get it. And, you know, the thing is, I didn't watch that much TV at all in the 80s, especially because when I was in college, we didn't even have a TV, you know, so.
That had to be fun in the dorm room.
Yeah, well, we did have a lot of fun. I'll tell you, we didn't really particularly need the TV. We didn't miss it.
Okay.
But we didn't have TVs, you know, we didn't have computers. We didn't have TVs. We just, you know, we hung around. We played 80s music. We danced. We went to parties. We went out.
Sure.
You know, we didn't really miss the television. But I did, in retrospect, miss a lot of these very iconic 80s shows because I just never got into it. Then once I got into an apartment with a television, all we did was watch MTV. So that was my 80s television experience.
Was MTV.
You know, Whitney Houston. Yeah, Whitney Houston and Michael Jackson and, you know, Duran Duran and all the and Tears for Fears and all the 80s music that came out of the MTV generation. So
Yeah, I completely endorse that concept of TV watching. Like I miss that, just sitting there watching videos.
Yeah, it was fun, but it was obsessive.
Yeah.
You know, and there was not much of a narrative, so they tried in some of the videos, but it was not much of a narrative.
Yeah, I mean, until you had something like Thriller, but, you know, and that was just its own entity by itself.
Yeah,
but
that was kind of rare. Nobody else, I don't think anybody else had the resources really to do Thriller.
Right. Exactly. But much like what you were talking about when you're talking about Charlie's Angels, I know the A-Team had a lot of stuff. You know, they had the lunch boxes, they had toys. I remember when we were geeking out on some of the Sears Wish Book catalogs, you know, when we were doing the year-end wrap-up stuff, I remember seeing some A-Team toys in there. So that would have been around the 89 time frame, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's fun.
Yeah. I didn't have any of that because, like I said, I didn't really start watching it until I was in the Navy and, you know, watching it in the barracks. And this would have been early 90s. You know, way early 90s, like 91, 92-ish. So, you know, that's when I would have been actually probably closer to 90. But, you know, it's like it's not like I was loading up my barracks room with a whole bunch of toys. You know, that just wasn't something that, you know, was part of it. But I did, but unlike your college experience, I did get a TV. And just a tangent for a minute, I ended up paying way, way, way too much for a TV because of the scam that they run over at the on the Army base. They have this thing where, you know, they'll have like these people that have like these electronics, these high-end electronics, and they're like, hey, you know, we know that you don't have the money because you're like a junior sailor or a junior soldier or whatever, but you can, you know, buy this TV, you know, in increments. You know, we can set up a payment plan.
Oh, how rude. They're ripping off you veterans serving our country.
And you're really like, you know, 19 years old or whatever, and you're like, I don't know any better, and I don't have any credit. So it's like, you know, you're going to be able to build credit because you're paying a monthly bill or whatever. So on the on the surface, it looked like it was a great idea, but looking back on it now, I was like, yeah, I probably paid double what you would have paid for a normal TV.
All to watch the A-Team.
Yeah, exactly. And much like you, I watched a lot of MTV as well. I remember my roommate that I really didn't spend a lot of time with, but my roommate that, you know, I actually lived in the room with, he liked to watch Yo MTV Raps on my TV all the time. So, like, when I wasn't in the room, he'd watch that. I'm like,
yeah, that was a little later in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
See, now, by the time we got to the late 80s, then I was out in the real world. I had an apartment. I did have a television. I did watch TV then. And I ended up, I watched 30-something. That was my favorite show. I watched Knots Landing because my roommate really got into Knots Landing, and she kind of sucked me into it. And so we had, like, this routine where we'd watch 30-something in Knots Landing and then go out afterwards.
That's my time.
There's the timer. Okay.
That darn 20-minute timer.
Yeah, well, you know, we talked a lot of A-Team in the 20 minutes. We did, you know, I think you optimized it.
we did our job on that one. Okay. All right. So this is the part where I'm going to remind everybody, and actually I don't think that wasn't a very clean segue at all. Wow. I really need to work on that.
Oh, so what?
if you're on the computer and you want to go clickety-click and all that kind of good stuff, we have a website. That's BonsaiRetroClub.com. Go out there. You want to shoot us an email. That's McFly@BonsaiRetroClub.com. If you're on the Podbean app and you are one of our followers, we really, really do appreciate you. Actually, we appreciate our listeners, but it's fun to go onto the Podbean app and kind of see the activity going on there. So thank you to all those that choose to follow us on Podbean. If you're on iTunes, we do like it if you can give us a rating review and maybe even subscribe to the podcast. So if you're so inclined, we'd appreciate that. If once again you're still on your computer and you want to check out a kick-ass blog, Suzanne's got one. That's SuzanneMattaboni.com. I know I've joked about it where it's straight out of Mattaboni, but it's actually Suzanne Mattaboni. That's SuzanneMattaboni.com. You can also check her out on Twitter, and that's Suze Mattaboni. I take care of our Bonsai Retro Club Twitter account. If you want to check out Scott's Twitter account, that's at 80s Auto Reverse. If you want to check out Rose, that's at 80s Music Girl.
Very comprehensive.
I think I covered everybody, didn't I? Did I forget?
Yeah, anybody? Yeah.
All right. I think so. Okay. I might be good on
that. Thanks for the
plug. Yeah. Let me see. So I guess with everything that's just been said, we do appreciate you for listening and checking us out. This is part where we remind you to please be excellent to each other. Have a good whatever. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Danielson!
Hey, Bonsai!